as her allegiance to the old king. And she goes on, time and again, he goes on, what do you call, trying to bring home to her husband. Says, don't neglect him, don't be indifferent to him, call him, invite him to the palace. He says, what can I do? You go and do whatever you like. I don't stop him from coming to the palace, but he's a madman. And don't you try to waste your time in trying to rectify his mind or anything. He has gone cuckoo, I tell you. But she cannot believe that. Coincidence is that one day she is going out with her maidens and she is wanting to have a morning stroll near the beach. And to her utter surprise, from a distance she sees a man sitting, solitary man, sitting with legs spread out and playing with the sand, collecting the sand and keeping a huge heap of sand and laughing and all that. And he is to himself. He is playing with sand. As they approach, immediately she recognizes him. He says, that's Bahlul, the king. So she stops there, the maidens stop there and says, Bahlul, what are you doing here? He says, well, I'm doing my work. He says, what work are you doing? I'm building castles in heaven for those who deserve. And very playfully she laughs and smiles and says, well, Bahlul, if you are building castles in heaven, then do I deserve one for myself? So he looks at her and says, yeah, you deserve that too. So will you build one for me? So he says that, well, you have to pay the price for it. He says, what price do you want? So he points at a necklace that she was wearing at the time, of precious stones. That's the price. So in her gleeful mood, she takes it out and hands it over to Bahlul. And he's happy and looks at it playfully and this, and then tears the stones, gems from there, and throws it in the ocean. He's by the side of the surface of the water. And likewise, he just tore the whole necklace and threw all the stones in the ocean. And says, there you are. Your castle is built in heaven. Now you go. And she laughs, and maidens laugh. And for them, there's nothing. A precious stone necklace is nothing for the queen of the empire. And nothing. They just giggle and laugh and go away. Talk about him. Forgot. They return to the palace. Days are passing by, the episode is forgotten. After about a week or 10 days, it seems that the king notices his wife, the queen, and says, well, the necklace that I gave you, you didn't like it? You are not wearing it? Yeah, I loved it. So where is it? And then she informs the king that such a thing happened and that's why I gave it to him, and he tore it to pieces and threw the whole stones in the water. He says, why did you do that? And he is so ruffled, he is so wild about it, and there is altercation taking place between the woman and the husband, you see. No more queen and the king, you know. The language that is he is using, and she says, but what harm is there? After all, he is the rightful king. He says, but do you realize what you have done? It's from the royal treasury, and why did you do that? And this and that. But after all, what is there in that necklace? Suppose he is the rightful king. He is the owner of everything. If he is happy with it, if he gets pleased, so why? He told me that he is building castles in heaven. He asked me for it, and I gave it to him without knowing what he is going to do for it. And if he has destroyed it, so what harm is there in that? Why do you lose your temper like that? And the altercations were such that they stopped speaking with each other. And you should. I'm just giving you a verbal, account of it, but you should see Baba enacting the whole thing. How the husband is saying and how the wife turns her head away and this and that. They are not on speaking terms. They don't want to see each other's face. To an extent, Baba says that, well, in the bed chamber, they have separated the beds and they don't want to sleep nearby, and that's how it is. Nothing to do now. just because of that simple thing. And the court is going on every day, the affairs of the kingdom are being carried out, and everything is being done the way it was done before. One fine day, or one unfortunate day, whatever you want to call it, night, she is in her bed sleeping. Next to her is the bed of the king, and what she is awakened from her sleep, deep sleep, to her utter surprise, he is in great agony. And he is shouting out loudly, he's crying. And so she gets up on bed and looks at him, but because they are not on speaking terms, she doesn't care for him. This is how Baba enacts the part. And what's there? Let him suffer. That's how it is. So he is having a nightmare. Out of that nightmare, all of a sudden, he begins to laugh. And then again he shrieks and begins to cry. This time, the woman's heart is soft, Baba says. She couldn't bear that much. So she goes and shakes him up and gets him out of the nightmare. So he gets up. So she's asking for the first time after many weeks of silence there, what's the matter? What is troubling you? Why are you... What, you had a nightmare or something like that? What is there? I said, it's a terrible dream I had, a nightmare. Yeah, it was. What happened? He said, I see myself that I have died and I am being led to the pearly gates of heaven. But why should you be crying for that? It's such a good sign. No, it's not that. But what happens is that as I enter, I'm allowed to enter heaven, and I'm going there, and I see all the castles built there. And I wander from place to place, and nobody admits me. And the frustration is so great that I can't bear. I know that I am the king, the owner of all things around me, and yet I'm not supposed to enter the castles. And then, just before you woke me up, I saw some lady opening a window, and I looked up, and you were there. And I thought that it was, naturally, you are there, so I must enter. And you shout out and stop me. That's where you woke, when I shrieked out and you woke me. I cried. I laughed when I saw you. I cried then, when you stopped me and wouldn't allow me to. And you said, each on his own. Nobody, all, each one has to own the castle. Nobody can share any castle. And that's when you woke me up, when I was really distraught. So she says to him, you remember what Balul had said? He's so now so downcast, you know, he does not know what to say or anything like that. So, yeah, I remember. Says, why don't you ask? Why don't you? See, this is something, it has some meaning behind it. Why don't you call him? Why don't you invite him? Why don't you speak to him? Why don't you have him as your guest if you don't like him to be in the family or anything like that? You call any riffraffs, you see they come to your court for justice and all that. Why not him? He says, do what you like. I'm so upset and I don't know what to do. You do what you like. You want to invite him, call him, do what you like. Invite Balul. So she is happy now that she has got the sanction from the king, you know. So she sends out the emissaries and catches hold of him and gets him there. After a couple of days, he's found somewhere and he's being caught. Given a good scrub, good bath and all that, dressed him properly, put a chair before his throne, before the throne of the king. The king is sitting there and Balul is made to face him on another chair. So the queen is standing by his side. So the brothers both confront now. So the one who is on the throne says, Balul, do you recognize me, who I am? Sure, you are the king of this kingdom. You are my brother. Do you recognize this lady? Yeah, she is the queen, your wife. Do you recall that some months ago you had built a castle for her in heaven? Yeah, it is already built. Do you think that I deserve a castle in heaven or not? What do you think? So he looks at him. I say, yeah, you do deserve one. And as soon as he said this, that you deserve one, having heard from his wife the price for it. So those were the years when the kings or the emperors they used to wear jewelry, pearl necklaces and all sorts of things. So he takes out his pearl necklace, very costly, and other things are there. So he says, here, the price for it. So he says, he looks at it and laughs. Anything else? Just this. So he takes out another necklace and takes out his armbands and bracelets and all that. And he says, just this. Anything else? Anything else? He is now bereft of all jewelry, whatever the royal jewelry is there. And all the time he's saying, anything else? He says, Bahlul, when my wife was told that a castle can be built for her and you asked for the price and the price was just a necklace. And why is it now I've given you everything that I had on my body and you said anything else all the time? What do you mean? What price should I pay? Price to know the worth of the castle in heaven. Now you know the worth of a castle in heaven. So the price is all the more. When she was for the first time confronted me, she did not know anything. She asked me what I was doing. I was building a castle in heaven. And she said, can I have one? I said, yeah, you can have one. And I told her to give the price, and the price was necklace, because she did not know the worth of it. She just believed.
The worth of the castle.
Castle in heaven. She believed and she gave that. But now you know the worth of it. So the price is not only all the ornaments, all the treasury of the kingdom. Not only all the treasury, all the kingdom will be too little for it. Not only that, but you have to give your life for it. That's the price. So then Baba turns to us and says, the case is similar with you all. When you all came to me first, you all did not know why you have come. I called you and you came. You did not know the worth, why you are called and why, who I am and why you all are here and all that. But when the world will come to know about it, as to who I am, they will be prepared to give up the kingdom. They will be prepared to give up the whole world to have me. So that's what he says. That's why I say how blessed you all are in your own ignorance. All that you have done is just you are obeying my orders and carrying it out. But that is great. Without knowing what you are doing for, why you are doing it. Because I tell you to do it, you do it. But without knowing the worth of it. But once you come to know the worth, see how it is. When people will in the world, after I drop my body, when they come to know of it, they will be prepared to give up everything. That's how he gave us the comfort and the story comes into the picture.